The 2022 NBA draft, 2022 NBA free agency, and the 2022 NBA summer league are all now in the rearview mirror. So while unfortunately the dead period of the NBA offseason is upon us, that doesn't mean there is still plenty to talk about. But before we talk about what could happen, it's probably best that we get a good idea of where we are currently with the Grizzlies roster on the contract situations, potential extensions, and what a rotation might look like considering where the roster is right now. All that on this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Here we go.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome one and all to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you're having a wonderful start to your week. And obviously it's Monday. My co-host Michael Cole will be with me later this week. Of course, you can find the show at StatsSAC, or myself at StatsSAC on Twitter, the show at Locked On Grizz, DeMichael Cole at DeMichael C. Right here on YouTube, just hit that subscribe button below. That lets us know you enjoyed the show. Let others be able to find the show as well. And we're free on all podcast platforms. Wherever you choose to listen, that's where we will be for free. Just hit the subscribe button there as well. You'll get updated every time content is available. So, you know, obviously the Grizzlies have remained, you know, rather quiet, you know, since nearly a month ago when they were, you know, had made a lot of moves on draft night, bringing in four new rookies to the roster, trading away DeAnthony Melton. We saw them re-sign Tyus Jones. We saw Kyle Anderson, you know, leave for the Minnesota Timberwolves. So all in all, you know, the main part of the Grizzlies, you know, in general, the Grizzlies have mostly stayed the same when it comes to the main core moving forward. There's not been that major move that there was an outside shot, many of us thought, you know, could occur this summer. But what has happened is that the Grizzlies are continuing to plan for the future. They've let a few, you know, pieces go that they basically had ran their course with the Grizzlies, Melton and Kyle Anderson, and they brought in new bodies who they're hoping, you know, potentially will be able to, you know, become even better fits for the roster than Melton and Anderson, where they've also extended John Conchar. But of course, you know, with the NBA in general, you know, kind of in, you know, not necessarily a stalemate, but in a holding pattern until names like Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Donovan Mitchell, and others potentially find new homes. The best thing to do before we speculate about what we don't know is to make sure we have a full understanding of what we do know. And that is, where does the Grizzlies roster stand, both from a contractual standpoint in terms of finances now and moving forward? You know, what about, could the Grizzlies potentially make an extension or two, kind of like they did last year, right before the season when they extended Jaren Jackson Jr.? And then from there, if this is what the Grizzlies are going to look like going into the season, what might a potential rotation look like? All of that discussed on this edition of Locked On Grizzlies. So let's jump right into it. So here's what we do know. The Grizzlies now have officially locked in the two cornerstones of their future, Jaren Jackson Jr., who the first year of his contract, I believe around $29 million, the first year of the four-year extension that he signed last year, he'll start getting paid that this year. So we're going to make our first big commitment to Jaren Jackson Jr. this season. Obviously, it's a less than ideal commitment in year one with Jaren Jackson. You know, I'll go as far as to say likely being out for a third, maybe even close to half of next year already due to a stress fracture in his foot. But what we do know when it comes to the roster is that Ja is going to be here for at least six more years, more than likely. He's got the last year of his rookie contract in 22-23, and then the first year of his new contract, 5 years, $193 million, which could go up to nearly $230 if he makes All-NBA this year. That first year, that will start in 23-24. So Ja, we know we've got for 6 years. Jaren, we know that we've got for 4 years. John Conchar, 2 years left on his current deal, signed a three-year extension this summer. We know we've got him for 5 years. And then we've also got Xavier Tillman off of his four-year contract he signed after being a second-round pick of the 2020 draft. We also have him for two more years and Tyus Jones for two more years. These are contracts that we know, unless for some reason, and I don't imagine Ja and I don't imagine Jared are going to be involved in this, but we know that these contracts are likely going to see their way through the end of their commitment to their multiple years. So those, you've got your two cornerstones, and you've got complementary pieces in Tyus Xavier or Tillman, as well as John Conchar. We know that they have multiple years left on their contracts. You then have a few other groups. You've got your rookies, where you've got Kennedy Chandler, you've got Jake LaRavia, you've got David Roddy. Each of those players are on four-year contracts. Part of Kennedy Chandler's is not guaranteed, but you know that you have that trio for at least 4 years because they just got drafted. You also have the group of recently drafted players that you still have to make decisions on as time goes on. You've got 2 years of Desmond Bane before the season starts. The Grizzlies will obviously pick up his fourth-year option. And then you've got Zaire Williams and Santi Aldama, who you've got 3 years left with. The Grizzlies are obviously going to pick up their options as well, for their third year. So, in other words, the Grizzlies already have 10 players who were signed beyond this season. And included in those 10 players, you've got the main trio of Ja, Bane, and Jaren. And then you obviously have a very versatile, very deep, and very talented and young supporting cast that signed for the foreseeable future. So, the Grizzlies have done a very good job. I'm not only adding pieces as time has gone on, but making sure to maintain those pieces as well. You could see in time Vince Williams or Kenneth Lofton Jr., who had an outstanding showing to end his 2022 Summer League campaign. Maybe you see one of those two-way players eventually become a part of the roster long term. But the key is to take away is that the Grizzlies are going to start owing more money starting this season to not only their main cornerstones, but the complementary pieces as well. But the good thing is that the formula that you know has worked, the pieces that you know work so well together, they're only going to continue to grow, mature, and develop together, and you're going to allow for them to have the opportunity to do so because they're all signed long-term. But there's still some key pieces who the Grizzlies probably want to try to get a bit more certainty on moving forward. Of course, we're talking about Killian Tilly. We're talking about Dylan Brooks. We're talking about Brandon Clark. We're talking about Steven Adams as well. So there's still some pieces that the Grizzlies need to figure out. Still some assets the Grizzlies potentially are looking to try to extend this offseason. But what would an extension look like? And what is the sense of that potential extension happening? We'll discuss that in just a moment. Before we do, I want to remind you, though, that when it comes to your betting and waging needs, the thing is, you always want to make sure that you make it as easy on you as possible. You don't want to have to constantly, every time you're trying to bet and wager on sports, you don't want your mind to be focused on setting up the ability to do it. You want that to be taken care of easily. You want your mind to be set on, okay, what do I need to do to win this bet? What data do I need to back up my decision on for me to feel confident in wagering and winning money? BetOnline.net allows for you to do that, whether it be your mobile device or your laptop. It's the fastest and easiest way for you to bet on all your sports action. Basketball, football's right around the corner. Baseball's heating up. You've got even Vegas casino games. Anything that you want to bet on is out there at BetOnline.net. And the great thing is that it's the fastest and easiest way for you to do all your betting needs whenever you enjoy it. Make sure you check out BetOnline.net today. I want to remind you, obviously, and thank you for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen of the day. But I also want to remind you the NFL's 50 most valuable players. Which NFL stars move the betting line the most? Starting July 18th, Locked On gives you the 50 most valuable players in the NFL from the odds makers at BetOnline. Available July 18th on Locked On NFL, wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. So one other name that I did not mention goes into this group with Tilly and Dylan Brooks, as well as Steven Adams and Brandon Clark. And I was listening to, the Grizzly Bear Blues live podcast with a friend of the show, Parker Fleming, as well as Matt Herdlick. And they brought up a great point, about the fact that when it comes to Danny Green, this is kind of a wild card on the Grizzlies roster. He's got 1 year, $10 million left. The Grizzlies are likely going to pay all of that. But the thing is that they may not necessarily be looking to pay it to where they're going to try to use Danny Green for the playoffs. I find it hard to believe, though he could be a valuable asset. I just don't know how reliable he's going to be coming off an ACL injury at his age, and you expect for him to be able to be a productive rotation player in the playoffs. I don't know what the likelihood of that is. But, just because Danny Green may not have value in and of himself, an expiring $10 million contract is a nice trade, piece in a money-making move that the Grizzlies could do between now and the first of the year, or between now and at the trade deadline, they've got a nice piece that they could use. They could attach a pick or two to it, maybe a young player, and go get a name or go get an established NBA talent that they want to add to this core, perhaps for the long term. So that's Danny Green's role, in my opinion. You know, theoretically, hey, he's a perfect addition. This isn't an Andre Iguodala situation. You're not going to have some guy who, you're not going to have someone in Andre, like Andre Iguodala, who didn't want to be here. The Grizzlies are now, you know, this is how they changed the narrative. They're able to make moves for players who have been there, like Danny Green. And even though he may not feel the Grizzlies are a contender to other teams, they don't have the star power that Danny Green would be attracted to at this point in his career, Danny Green likely finds value in being a part of what's going on here in Memphis, even if he's not playing, because it benefits him and it also benefits the Grizzlies, obviously, from his wealth of experience, having, you know, so many playoff games, so, doing so well defensively and shooting the three, as well as the experience he can provide in the championships that he's won. So Danny Green has the ability to be a valuable asset to this team, not only from his experience, not only from being a mentor, but also as being a part of a potential trade package where the Grizzlies could use the attractiveness of Danny Green's expiring contract to go out and get a name they may want to add to the team long-term. Killian Tilly, I think right now, when you look at the Grizzlies having 16 guaranteed contracts for 15 spots, Killian Tilly's the one to go. And trust me, it's hard for me to say that because I'm not going to say I'm the biggest supporter of Killian Tilly, but I absolutely do hope that in some way, shape, or form, Killian Tilly gets a chance to show off his skills. He just seemed like a great fit for what Taylor Jenkins wanted to do when the Grizzlies added him in the 2020 draft as an undrafted free agent. But the same thing that kept him from being drafted in that draft, potentially, you know, in the teens in the first round, the same thing that kept him from being drafted in the 2020 draft is the same thing that unfortunately has not allowed for him to develop as you would hope that he would, and that's injuries. He just can't stay healthy. He couldn't even stay healthy enough to be able to play in the summer league. I don't mean that as a negative or an insult to Killian Tilly. It's just a simple truth. The trend is too lengthy to ignore when it comes to an injury history for Killian Tilly. And so with the Grizzlies, whether it be through trades or what have you, if they need to trim their roster, Killian Tilly probably makes the most sense, especially when you have Xavier Tillman, Santi Aldama, you know, Kenneth Lofton Jr. You've got so many other options that right now are much younger and more intriguing than Killian Tilly. Killian Tilly seems like the obvious odd man out if the Grizzlies were to wind up just standing pat and doing nothing before this season starts. But what about Steven Adams and Brandon Clark? Now, I think that there absolutely is logic in looking at potentially extending both Steven Adams and Brandon Clark. And there's pros and cons. You know, the one thing that, you know, is kind of hard to wrap your head around is we know that Taylor Jenkins wants to form a roster in which he wants shooting options from every aspect of the court. He would love to have five shooters on the court. Steven Adams and Brandon Clark are not three-point shooters. They are not productive players from distance. We've discussed, though, they make up for that. Steven Adams with his offensive rebound and passing, Brandon Clark with his ability to finish, his defense, his own rebounding, you know, his switchability. You know, they provide value in other ways outside of not being able to shoot. But does it really make sense to potentially for Adams, let's say maybe 2 years, $27.5 million, you know, and Brandon Clark, 4 years, $50 million. Does it make sense to at least for the next, or for at least 2 years beyond this year, to keep committing $25 or so million to Clark and Adams? I believe this year they're making $22 combined million. Does it make sense for the Grizzlies to continue to commit over $20 million to two non-shooting front court players, no matter how valuable they are? Potentially. Now, at the end of the day, I still think, you know, while it's not necessarily one or the other, I find it hard to believe that if the Grizzlies were to extend Brandon Clark 4 years and $50 million, they're really wanting to then, you know, extend Steven Adams. You know, maybe they like the idea of doing it. They'll keep him around for another year, and he becomes a trade asset. You know, they could do it. But the thing is that even if it may be a little bit hard to see the logic in the Grizzlies, you know, again, perhaps giving Adams two years and $25 to $27.5 million, or, you know, giving Brandon Clark 4 years and $50 million, even if it's hard to see both those things being done, I would think that there's a good likelihood that at least one of those are done. I think that Steven Adams or Brandon Clark are prime extension candidates between now and the start of the season. And even though the shooting is not there, there's more pros than cons, in my opinion. Number one, with Steven Adams and Brandon Clark, you know that you have productive front court players that if Jaren Jackson Jr. is on the mend or trying to get healthy or is having injury issues, you've got good replacement. You've got players that are not Jaren, but at the very least, they can step in and contribute to winning basketball. We saw that all season last year. Number two, you also know that both these players play very well with Jaren. Steven Adams' ability with Jaren, you know, he is able to kind of be a facilitator that can allow Jaren to, you know, go out and be the perimeter threat that sets Jaren apart from most big men. His offensive rebounding obviously adds value. So there's plenty of value for Steven Adams, and he's a great complement to Jaren. Brandon Clark, it's a defensive combination between those two. The switchability, the length that they offer, both are nice complements to Jaren as far as rebounding goes. So, and the other thing is that I truly do believe that Steven Adams, when he's in there with Jaren, he keeps the physicality of the game kind of away from Jaren to keep Jaren healthy, while Brandon Clark is a nice asset to where if Jaren gets a foul trouble, you can just sub him right in for Jaren. You're not going to, you know, have as high of a ceiling, but you may also not miss a beat. So there are several layers to where both Brandon Clark and Steven Adams complement one of your franchise cornerstones. But there's also no denying what they do to complement your face of the franchise in Ja Morant. The screens that Steven Adams sets to give Ja the space to be able to maneuver to get into the lane, they're outstanding. It's no surprise that Ja exploded to the next level of his game based off the space that Steven Adams can create. And of course, you got Brandon Clark, who maybe not as good of a screener, but a highly effective role man, a great lob finish threat for Ja to be able to utilize that adds an element to the offense that can make it very dangerous because Brandon Clark is available. So without a doubt, there's no denying that Brandon Clark and Steven Adams bring value to this team in multiple ways, and they do it in very valuable ways because they both, in multiple ways, complement the two biggest reasons the Grizzlies feel they are a championship contender in the future. Both Steven Adams and Brandon Clark, in multiple ways, elevate the games of Ja and Jaren when Clark and Adams share the court with both of those players. That in and of itself is a reason to look into an extension if it makes sense. And again, I don't necessarily think you extend both of them, but I think one can make, at least one can make sense. And then there's the most polarizing, most interesting, the fun extension conversation that is Dylan Brooks. If you're looking at 2 years, $25 million for Steven Adams, 4 years, $50 million for Brandon Clark, what makes sense for Dylan Brooks? 4 years, $60 to $65 million. I think that that's probably what makes sense for Dylan Brooks. I know, and I will be the first to admit it as well, upgrading from Dylan Brooks, using Dylan Brooks in a trade to go get an upgrade, like an OG Anunoby, for instance, that would be the ideal, in a vacuum, move for this team. But it's very hard to make happen. It just is. I think Dylan Brooks is an attractive trade piece that if the Grizzlies wanted to use him in a trade, if the right trade came along, sure, that possibility still exists. I don't think it's going to happen. And I especially think that if the Grizzlies were not going to trade him before, it's going to be hard for them to trade him again with Jaren being out and Dylan being, you know, the defensive leader. But if Dylan does stay around and the Grizzlies continue to commit to keeping their players here who mean a lot to their culture, 4 years, $60 million makes some sense for Dylan. His resume certainly has earned it. When you see what type of players are out there that make 4 years and $60 million, Dylan probably will want $475 to $480. I'm not going that high. But with the salary cap going up, with the value that Dylan has to this team defensively, and with the fact that there are times where his offense can certainly be valuable, though to be fair, there are times where his offense can be so bad he can take away from his defensive value. There's still enough upside in Dylan's game to where you can commit that amount to him not take up too much a part of your roster. And if it comes to it, you still always have him as an option to potentially trade in the right trade package to get an upgrade. Perhaps not 4 years, 60. Maybe the Grizzlies view Dylan Brooks as more of a short-term option. Maybe instead of 2 years, $30 million, they give him 2 years, $35 million, 2 years, $20 million. Yeah, probably more than you want to pay him, but it's on a short-term deal. And while, for instance, with Tyus Jones, the Grizzlies went 2 years, $30 million, they overpaid a bit for Tyus Jones. The reason why is because they like the idea of him playing with Ja. They like the shooting he can bring. But you also got him as a potential trade piece if Kennedy Chandler comes along further. Now, the Grizzlies don't necessarily have a long-term replacement for Dylan, though you could point out Zaire, perhaps Laravia, perhaps Roddy, sure. But if the Grizzlies want to commit to keeping the culture in place, want to commit to keeping their roster in place, you could see a similar plan being out there for Dylan, where you keep him up for, you know, another 2 years. And that allows for you to keep him in the fold, keep his strength, keep his value to the team in the fold while you continue to figure out what you have in your younger players. And then you either can then at that point try to keep Dylan around further, or you could potentially trade him if you feel your young roster is going to be able to make up for his absence. So there are reasons and logic behind potentially extending Adams, Clark, and Dylan. I don't necessarily think the Grizzlies are going to extend all three. I could see one of Adams and Clark, and I could see Dylan being extended. And I think that besides Clark, I think the Grizzlies would probably go 4 years for Clark. I do think that if they extend Adams or Dylan, it probably is on a shorter-term deal. Again, just like the Grizzlies do with Tyus Jones, with plenty of reasons as to why. You keep what you know in place now, and then from there, that gives you a little bit of a safety net to where as your young talent develops that you drafted over the past few drafts, you've got something you can rely on in a veteran in Adams and Brooks and or Adams and Brooks, and you just wait to see what you got with your younger roster. So, yes, there are reasons to where we could see multiple extensions from the Grizzlies before next season. It'll be interesting to see for sure. But the other big question, and another fun thing to speculate, though you don't want to do it every single day until the start of the season, with the season still being 3 months away, what does a potential rotation look like for the Grizzlies right now? We'll discuss that in just a moment. So, without a doubt, a couple of things around entering this season. You know that with John Desmond Bane, you have the makings of a championship backcourt. Possibly the best complementary backcourt where both players are under 25 in the NBA. John, Desmond complement each other's game so well with Jaws inside, you know, with his paint production, Desmond shooting. It's unbelievable how well they complement each other. You know those two are going to start. Without a doubt, you know that Dylan is going to start, and you're likely going to see Steven Adams start. You know who's not starting is Jaren Jackson Jr. because he's out with an injury. So at that point, who starts with Ja, Desmond, Dylan, and Steven Adams? Now, Anthony Sain of Sports 56 and newly of Grizzly Bear Blues, I think he brings up a great point. Ja, Desmond, Dylan, Zaire, and Steven Adams. That's a very fun starting lineup. You've got good shooting potential around Ja. You've got good starting, or you've got good defensive versatility on the perimeter with, you know, different lengths, different physicality that you could use. You've got the offensive rebounding of Steven Adams, who also can offer a bit of rim protection. You know that Dylan can play up. He can play above his size. You saw how well he did in the last 7 minutes of the game 5 victory over Minnesota. Now, to me, that should be a starting lineup that makes sense. But again, as you've heard me say many times, it's not necessarily the lineup that you start with. It's the lineup that you come to after you've made needed adjustments. So perhaps the starting lineup is a Ja, a Desmond, a Dylan. We'll say Zaire or Brandon Clark and Steven Adams. So if that's the case, if that's what you're looking at, another benefit of doing of starting Zaire, in my opinion, is that you also get Tyus and Brandon anchoring the bench lineup, which should keep the reserve unit for the Grizzlies one of the best in the league. But so if you, in either way, shape, or form, you've got Ja, Desmond, Dylan, and Steven Adams. Those are your four starters that you know are going to be there. The second tier of the supporting cast is Tyus, Brandon Clark, John Conchar, and Zaire Williams, when you look at this roster right now. Though that is your supporting cast. That is going to be, in my opinion, your top eight. You know, whether it's Brandon or Zaire starting, the other one plus Tyus plus Conchar are likely the first three players off the bench. And then that's fine. And an exciting, you know, trio there that can do a lot of different things to help support the starting lineup, you know, and mixing and matching. But then after that, you look at it and you're like, okay, so if our starting lineup is Ja, Desmond, Dylan, Brandon Clark, and Steven Adams, that means that our second unit is Tyus, Conchar, Zaire Williams, Jake Laravia, and Xavier Tillman. Throwing Laravia in there because it makes sense because of the investment that the Grizzlies made for him, you know, in the draft. You still have Santi Aldama, David Roddy, Kennedy Chandler that are out there. That gives you 13. But the thing that stands out to me is that it's going to be interesting to see. And the thing is that with Taylor Jenkins, yes, when he figures out a starting lineup, he likes to stick with it. But again, it's not what you start with. It's how you finish. So if you're looking at some combination of Ja, Desmond, Dillon, Brandon Clark, Steven Adams, and then Tyus Conchar, Zaire Williams, Jake LaRavia, and Xavier Tillman, it's younger than it's been in the past. It's far more uncertain. And I've talked about it multiple times. I don't think that you have. I think you do take a relevant step back in your shooting reliability, which the Grizzlies don't need to do. They don't need to take a step back. They need to continue to step forward in that specific area. However, you've got a lot of potential in all facets of the game. We know what Tyus can do. Conchar, Tillman, LaRavia, Zaire, they have either the potential or they already have shown the production to where they can add value to the game in so many ways to help the Grizzlies win in the regular season. Now, those four players may not, as of this next year, may not necessarily be difference makers in the playoffs. But if there's any example of a team that highly benefited from depth and productive depth of getting to the playoffs last year, it was the Grizzlies. And don't make no mistake about it. The Grizzlies want depth to continue to be an advantage for them. Keeping players healthy, keeping players fresh, showing different looks depending on what the game situation is. A lot of things to work with. So I do think the first eight are Ja, Desmond, Dillon, either Brandon Clark or Zaire Williams, Steven Adams, Tyus Jones, and John Conchar. I think that those are the first eight players right now from the Grizzlies roster. And then when Jaren gets back, you throw him in there, that's your first nine. So after your first eight or nine, who steps up? Who's that next guy? I think right now you're probably looking at Santi Aldama being that next guy. I know I mentioned LaRavia, but what about a potential backup lineup, especially if Brandon Clark starts? What is about a second unit of Tyus Jones, Conchar, Zaire, Santi Aldama, and Xavier Tillman? You may have trouble at times scoring, but there's also plenty of opportunity, especially with Tyus at the helm, for one or two of those players to emerge to start showing production based off their potential. We saw how special Santi Aldama looked in a couple of the summer league games. Not saying he's going to sit here and drop points to where it basically per 36 minutes he's averaging 30 a game. Not saying that at all. But Santi Aldama has done enough, I feel, especially with Jaren out, to get a chance at cracking the rotation even from opening night. So the Grizzlies are going to look different. The Grizzlies are going to continue to look young, but the Grizzlies are going to continue to look like a unit that has so much potential. And just like last year when it came to Ja, Desmond, and Jaren and others, this year gives plenty of opportunity for the youngest players on this roster to start turning that potential into production. Not saying it's going to happen overnight, not saying it's going to happen immediate, but there's going to be plenty of opportunity for it to happen. And even if certain players that you want are not starting, if they're playing right, Taylor Jenkins has shown a tendency to trust his gut, and he's going to feature the players that not only are committed to what he wants to do, but are showing that they can have success doing it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Again, it may be a silent rest of the offseason. I'll throw in another little news nugget for you. I talked with Jake Fisher of Bleacher Report. Yes, the Jake Fisher who is, saw his rise, to the elite when it comes to NBA news nuggets, reporting, what have you. I asked him directly on his podcast, Please Don't Aggregate Get This. I asked him directly if there was anything out there that Memphis potentially could do. Could Memphis still be looking to make a move? And Jake Fisher, about a year ago on a Sunday was the one who mentioned Memphis and New Orleans have talked trade. Monday, the following Monday, the trade happened 24 hours later. So Jake Fisher knows what he's talking about. And he point blank said he does not get the feeling that Memphis is looking to do anything major to shake up their culture. Something that we have consistently heard from Shams, from Oj, and now from Jake Fisher. So anyone that's still out there hoping for a major move, it just doesn't seem like it's going to happen. We're not getting Durant. We're not getting Donovan Mitchell. We're not getting Kyrie. I know some others out there who have astutely pointed out, well, what about the other pieces that potentially could move? I mentioned like a Jordan Clarkson and Malik Beasley. They probably don't make sense both on Utah. What if the Grizzlies traded for one of them? What if the Grizzlies traded for Bojan Bogdanovic? Maybe get a Seth Curry out of this. I don't know, though. He may not be the best addition. But my point is that this one big move that, you know, I've been a fan of trying to identify when it'll happen for years now. It's not around the corner. If the Grizzlies make a move, it may be a relevant one to where they use the Danny Green contract to go get a player that could upgrade this roster. But the Grizzlies aren't going to make a move, I don't think, this summer for an established star. What seems to be a growing reality for this Grizzlies team is that in time when they make a significant move, it may not be for an established star. It may be for a talent that the Grizzlies can get in a reasonable price, that once that talent comes into the Grizzlies development track, then that player could potentially turn into a star. That may be the route the Grizzlies have to go. It's much tougher to make it happen that way, to make a championship contender that way when you're dealing with uncertainty until it comes to you till you make it certain. But that could be the route that the Grizzlies go. But my point is that it simply does look like that the roster, as it is right now, it's a very good chance that it's the roster that the Grizzlies go into training camp with and then into the season with. And while it may not be ideal in many people's minds, it's not ideal in my mind. This Grizzlies brass, this coaching staff, the players, they've gotten the benefit of the doubt, and they've already shown before, just last year, they can trade away veterans who were big reasons why the Grizzlies won in 20 and 21 and trust their youth, and look what happened. Been there before, can do it again. Not saying Lightning's going to strike twice or anything like that. The Grizzlies are going to have the second best record in the league next year, especially without Jaren. But if there is a franchise, or the Grizzlies are one of the few franchises, that when you see this much commitment to youth and you see just how much opportunity some of this youth is going to be able to play, it's not hard to predict that there could be an unexpected breakout where one of these young players clearly makes it very clear that they should be a part of the Memphis core for a long time. So even though there's not going to be a lot of basketball action, even though there may not necessarily be all that much basketball news, there's still plenty to talk about, and we're going to do that for you here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name's Sean Coleman. You can find me at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz, right here on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button, and also wherever podcasts are available. Until next time, go Grizzlies. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.